So good to have Jason and his daughters here with us this morning. Thanks, man. Yeah, good. Those who were around this summer, they came and shared with us or led with us one Sunday in July, and yeah, good to have him back. And he's also scheduled to come and lead on April 7th, the week after Easter as well. So thanks, for Jason, for being open and willing to do that. You can never have enough worship leaders, right? So thank you. Yeah, it's good. How we doing, church? We doing all right? Yeah. It's good. God's good. Processing last week. Maybe from some of you forgot last week's message already. Huh? Maybe not. I was in your seat many, many years, and so I remember, like, what did he preach about last week? I don't even remember what that was, but anyway, I hope some of that's been processing through, and my hope is, of the next few messages, to help all of us process a little bit of what maybe the Lord's going to be doing in and through our church, and both individually and corporately, right? And I'm excited. I was excited after last week's message just to hear some of the feedback I got. And, you know, maybe you're not aware of this, but, you know, you always get the good feedback right away, right? And so this week's been sweet. We'll see what happens next week. It was really sweet just to hear, you know, how already the Holy Spirit was sparking in a few people this creativity. 50,000 souls, how in the world is that, you know? But, like, to hear several people come to me and say, oh, I have this idea. Like, what if we did this? We could use this, you know? And I'm just, like, going, wow. Like, yes, that's exactly, like, how the Lord is going to lead us into this, is by every one of us recognizing the responsibility that we have in it, and then listening for the Holy Spirit and following Him as He gives us ideas, as He leads into different things. And I'm excited about that, and I'm sure maybe there's others of you that have had already these ideas and these visions that have come to you this week. Others of you are just trying to, you know, swallow the numbers right now, and that's a pretty heavy helping that you're trying to get through, and that's okay too. And God is good, and He's working, and He's moving in our church. I was, just thinking again about this reality as we get into this message this week about seeking God's kingdom first, and I just want to start with this kind of talking about dreams a little bit. You know, back in December, I preached a series, 3 weeks on the fact that we as a church are in a winter season. And one of the messages in that was about dreaming. That's what you do in the winter. In the winter, you dream about the crops that are to come. You dream about, you know, what's coming tomorrow, right? You dream about, you know, how do I build a, you know, do I plant more seed? Do I expand my, you know, my fields, right? Or do I need to trim it down a little bit? But you begin to think about the future and dream about it. This is what we do in winter time. And I think we as a church, we're continuing to be in this winter season, and so it's still appropriate for us to dream. And I think that's part of what last week was about, was saying, what about this? You know, as we evaluate and look around our world, we might go, well, look, you know, there's so many divisions and things are going, I mean, for the church in America, it's not looking good and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, that we're getting further and further marginalized in culture, right? And it's just like, you know, how are we going to get 50,000 new souls? Like, that's impossible. Like, there's just not the time for that. It's not the time to expand the field. It's the time to cut things back and trim down a little bit. I mean, economically, $50 million? There's just no way. I mean, look at the economy. How are we going to get this? We need to be cutting back. We need to be trimming things, you know, making sure that we're ready to go. And so from a worldly perspective, we may have this tendency to think lesser, lesser, lesser. And I think that's part of why I think this is God, because it just goes so against all of that. It doesn't make sense. This doesn't seem to be the time to expand the borders. But that's exactly how God works. And He does that through, first of all, encouraging us to dream. We all dream. I'm not just talking about at night, you know, we have those dreams at night, but I'm talking about during the day. We dream about the future. We dream about what's to come, and some of us are pessimistic dreamers. So the future is always going to be, you know, dreary, right? Oh, it's horrible. It's bad. It's going to be worse. Oh my gosh, it can never get better than it is right now. You know, this kind of thing, right? You know, and so we have this pessimistic view. Others of us are, you know, just eternal optimists, right? And it's always going to be better tomorrow, right? But whatever, however we tend to dream, dreaming is an important part of being in the kingdom of God. This reality that we're not stuck where we're at, right? Jesus loves us right where we're at, but he also loves us enough to always seek to bring about change. And as we dream, I want to encourage us to embrace dreaming right now. It's not just dreaming about what God's going to do in this church, but what is he going to do in your life? What is he going to do in your family? Dream about the changes that could come. Dream about the possibilities of what tomorrow could bring. Dream about what he could potentially do. This is what dreaming is all about. It's imagination. It's about possibility. It's about potential blessings. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 encourage us to dream. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think or dream, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. You can't outdream God. You can't outimagine God. I think so many of us have such small dreams. So many of us are just content with where we're at. Some of us just, you know, we're just giving up thinking about, you know, and dreaming about tomorrow. Church, we have to dream. We have to understand that God is leading us to be dreamers. And not just dreamers of human dreams, but dreamers of kingdom dreams. But understand that with dreaming, that it's basically just a practice of our minds and imagination. When we dream about something, there's really no expectation it'll happen, right? Dreams are just something that we have in our head. Maybe sometimes we'll share it with somebody, but most of the time we kind of just keep it to ourselves. And that's why God encourages us not just to dream, but he encourages us to take the next step of faith, which is to ask. You see, with asking comes expectation. Some of us, we've got to figure out how to dream because we're not dreaming. Others of us have dreamed really good dreams, but we got to get over the holding it to ourselves. We need to take the risk and we need to ask. It's in the asking that we begin to expect that God could actually do it. It's in the asking where we begin to actually look for the evidence that God is responding. This is what the Lord began in me back in July of 2023, and something that he's begun in this church last Sunday. He's inviting us to dream, and now he's inviting us to ask. You understand, it's easy to dream in some sense. I mean, who cares, like, if your dreams ever come true? It's, you know, crazy dream. You know, I dream that I'm going to, you know, have, you know, 100 grandkids, and they're all going to love me, and they're just going to come, and they're going to live with me, and they're going to hang out with me, and they're just going to bless me all the time. And they're going to say, you're the best grandpa ever, and I'm going to have best grandpa mugs all over the house. It's going to be, you know, this is, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. Like, who cares? Like, what a dream is. I mean, dreams are important, but until we ask, it's just imagination. Church, God is inviting us to ask him for our dreams. The reality is, the dream that I shared with you last week and the details of it maybe weren't in my brain, but it's a dream that I've had for some time. It's something that I feel like, you know, kind of God put in me. I've dreamed about people coming to Christ. I've dreamed about being a part of that. Dreamed about, you know, seeing, you know, being on the front lines of God's kingdom building, right? But for a long time, for most of my life, I've been afraid to even ask. I said, no, I can't ask that. See, my growing up and in the flavor of Christianity that I had and the churches that I went to, they told me that, you know, to ask for something like that, to ask for numbers, to ask for big numbers, that's prideful. That's selfishness. You're just trying to build your own kingdom. You just want to be known. You just want to be famous. You just want to, and so I've been told all my life that you don't ask God for those big numbers. It's one thing to dream about it, but you don't ask for it because that's crossing a line. If you ask God for those kind of things, you're just showing how discontent you are. You're really just not happy with what God has given you. And so I dreamed this dream in silence, desiring it in my soul, but never having the courage to speak it out. And then in July of last year, God stood before me and said, "What do you want?" What do you want? What do you want? What's the dream? Now that I've asked, now that I've proclaimed it publicly, I don't know about you, but I'm growing in my expectation that God is going to do it. Not because I'm great, not because I'm capable, but because he's great and he is capable and he's a good, good father. And in this process, I realized the desire that I had, the dream that I had was not a dream that came out of my own selfishness or my own self-ambition. It was a dream that he gave me. And therefore, the dream is not about me. It's about him and his will and what he wants to do. And what he's inviting us to join him in, to be a part of. I've read this passage many times in my life, but it's taking on new meaning these days. John 15:7-8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. He doesn't want us to bear just a little bit of fruit. He wants us to bear much fruit. In this week, as I've been reflecting on what I think God's calling us into in this big ask, if you will, I was reminded of my daughter's weddings. The privilege of being father of three kids. Oldest is our son, and then two daughters under that, next in line. And both of them have been married. All three of our kids have been married, but those two daughters have been married, and such a sweet privilege to be a part of their weddings and all of that. And of course, the joy. I've got pictures on my phone and at home of this awesome moment. It's the moment with me and my daughter walking down the aisle. Ah, awesome. But the reason the Lord brought this to me was because I remembered a conversation I had with my wife. Because, you know, there's a different, you know, when your son gets married, you know, that's one thing. But when your daughters get married, there's a little bit different responsibility. In other words, it costs a lot more money. And so I remember, like, you know, I'd laid out my budget, you know, and I'd shared the budget with my daughters, you know, each of them, you know, before, you know, we got to the day, right? And you're like, okay, here's what we have available to do this. But then after, you know, they knew what that was, and I sat down with my wife, Debbie, and I said, Debbie, I said, so I need you to do something for me. I says, I need you to really help us stay on this budget. And I said, because this is the reality, and I didn't tell my daughters this, but this is the reality. I told Debbie, I says, if they ask me, I can't say no. If they want more, I'll mortgage my house, whatever I've got to do, like I'll start working a second job, whatever. Like I can't say no. Often in our culture, it's that wedding day that our little girls dream about. And I just, as a dad, I just could not imagine saying no to my daughters in order to help them fulfill that dream, whatever it was, whatever it took, I was ready. And while we need to be careful attaching our own experiences to our Heavenly Father, I think there's something in this about who God is. That he knows our dreams. And he wants us to ask. And when he asks, when we ask, he can't say no. You know, Matthew 7, right? If you know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more is our Heavenly Father able to give good gifts to us? And so I just want to encourage us that we need to dream. Well, I've shared a dream of this for this church. I've asked God for this, and I'm inviting you to join me in asking him for this. But what does that mean for you? What is your dream? And here's what I believe. I believe that the dreams that you've been having, that you've had maybe all of your life, that are back there in the back of your brain, that you've thought about many times, you've dreamt about many times, maybe you shared it with a few close friends, like those dreams actually fit into this dream. That's what I believe. And so I believe that you having the courage to not just ask with me for 50,000 souls and $50 million, which is crazy, but that you would ask him for the dream that you've been dreaming as well. It's his will. It's his will that I desire to be done. It's his will that will be done. And understand, even the dreams that we have and the dreams that we ask for, we always ask that his will be done above all else. The reality is, I don't know if we're going to experience 50,000 new believers. I don't know if we're going to raise $50 million. Maybe we will. Maybe we'll not get that much. Possibility we'll get way more than that. I don't know. But understand, by dreaming and by asking, it leads to expectation. And expectation leads to preparation. Preparation to receive the gift. Preparation to receive the dream coming true. Church, this is what we need to be at about right now. These are the things that I think God is calling us into. He says, you've dreamed this dream. You've asked me for this dream to come true. And now I want you to be ready. I want you to be expectant. So some things about this dream that I think this vision of 50,000 souls, $50 million in 5 years or less, that we need to understand. First of all, this is not a goal. This is not a goal that we're striving to achieve. That is not what this is about. This is a request. We are asking our good Father if he would allow us to participate with him in bringing 50,000 people into his kingdom. It's a test of our faith. Do we believe that? Do we believe that he would use a small church like us? Do we believe that he would use me, you? Here's one of the things that I began praying this week in regards to this. 50,000 souls. I mean, that's a lot of people, right? We're 200, 250, like 300, you know, max, like people that would call this their church family. That 10,000, that's a lot. I don't know what, you know, math, you know, I don't know. I didn't work out the math, but that's a lot per person, right? But here's what I've begun to pray. I've begun to pray that, Lord, would every single person that calls Trinity Alliance Church their church have the opportunity to at least join you in bringing one person into the kingdom of God? Every one of us. That's not just the evangelists, not just the missionaries, but every single person in this room and that is not in this room that is a part of this community. It's not a goal, it's a request. We're asking God, allow us to join you in your mission to save the world. Allow us to join you in building your kingdom. And understand that this vision is not about, it's not going to be done in our strength. We can't do it. It is accomplished in his strength. And thereby it's a test of our trust. Will we trust that he will empower us to do these things? Will we trust that he will actually lead us and guide us and direct us and allow us this privilege of 50,000 souls and $50 million? We trust him for that. Understand as well, this vision is not about building our kingdom. It's about building his kingdom. I do not believe, I do not want, and I am not asking that this church become a mega church. That is not my desire. I love you guys, and I love who we have, and I want you all to stay, and I want more to come as the Lord leads. But this is not about having a 50,000 person campus right here, right? Where we have that is not the vision. This is about building his kingdom, and his kingdom is global. It's not just in Reading. And so we need to prepare for maybe new people coming, and maybe we're going to expand. Maybe we're going to have to go to 3 services someday. Maybe we will build a new building in order to house a few more people. But understand, that's not the vision here. That's not what this is about. Trust me, I don't want 3 services. I don't want 5 services. I don't want that. It would be much easier to be at just one service. And for a long time, as you guys know, I was there. Like last year, I was there. Like one service. I'm not going to 2 services. And then the Lord said, "What are you doing? You keep praying that you want me to bring more people in and to bring in the kingdom of God and allow you to bring new souls into the kingdom, but you won't make room for them in your church." And so, church, this is, understand, we are not, vision is not about our church becoming a megachurch. It's not. This is about the kingdom of God. Some of that, certainly, I think, will happen here in Reading. There's a lot of souls here that need Jesus. But I think some of this is going to happen around the United States and around the world. And people from this church are going to be there. Just like Jessica, I got a report this morning from her. She's been in India for the last couple weeks. Heard this morning, 15 young people gave their life to Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Also understand that this vision is not about us being the audience. We're not standing and watching Jesus just do this. We're participants. This is going to test our willingness to obey him, to follow him, out of our comfort zones, into things that we never thought we would do, things that are beyond our dreaming, things that are beyond our imaginations. And that's what I want to spend some time on this morning for the rest of this message and also next week especially. What does that look like for us? What do we need to be prepared to do? And the first thing we need to be prepared to do is make sure that our perspective about the kingdom is right. Kind of alluded to this last week, the beginning of the message. The kingdom of God is not some future hope only. It is a future hope, but it's a present hope and reality right now. The kingdom of God is not something we're just waiting for eschatologically, that someday Jesus will come back and then the kingdom of God is here. No, the kingdom of God was inaugurated the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And we now are in the kingdom of God. Those who know Jesus, the kingdom of God dwells within us. It's near us. And we are commissioned to take the kingdom of God to the world. And this is why we have the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not some future eternity, but now. And so our first, I think, thing we have to get our mind around is this reality that we have to seek the kingdom of God first. Now, this has ramifications, you know, Matthew 6:33, right? We know this passage, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added. This is, you know, evangelistic, right? All of us, you know, needed the kingdom of God, and all of us, probably everybody in this room, we eventually found the kingdom of God. We had sought the kingdom of God and then we found the kingdom of God, and that's great, but we often don't take this to the next level, this reality that we as Christians are to continue to seek the kingdom of God first. In other words, we seek to live out of kingdom priorities, not human priorities. To seek out God, kingdom of God priorities, not kingdom of man priorities. And this is a great challenge for the American church. American Christians are sucked in to the culture around us. And we so often allow our lives to be prioritized by the thing that this world thinks is important, the things that this country, this nation thinks is important, and not by what God thinks is important. We spend so much of our life pursuing the things of this world instead of pursuing the things of his kingdom. We need a radical shift for some of us to zero our focus on the kingdom of God and make sure that everything that we are doing is motivated and for the purpose of building his kingdom. This doesn't mean that we have to all become missionaries to India, but it does mean that all of us have to become missionaries wherever we are, in our jobs, in our families, in our neighborhoods. The reason that we mow our lawn is so that we can get to know our neighbor, hoping that maybe that lawnmower kick up a rock through his window, so then we have to go over and have a conversation. Maybe that's the only way we get him out of his house, right? You understand, like, we have to change our perspective. Seek his kingdom first means that everything we do is motivated by the kingdom, not by this world. The reality is his kingdom is so worth it. We think, again, this is the challenge of American Christians. We live in such a wealthy society, culture right here in America, right? So wealthy, and we have so much that it's really easy, like, oh my gosh, these things are great. Like, it's really nice to have a really nice house with AC and all that kind of stuff, right? It's really nice to have a car with AC as well, right? I mean, we've all been there before, right? Anyway, you know we really like these things that we have in this world. And so it's really easy to live for them and want those things and be able to enjoy those things. But we've lost sight of the value of the kingdom of God. We know the passage, we read it at the beginning. We'll just read the first portion of Matthew 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, get this, in his joy, he goes and sells everything that he has and buys that field. What have you sold in order to get the kingdom of God? You see, this is a reality again in America. You know, we've gotten the kingdom of God pretty cheap. We've got to have our cake and eat it too. We get to live in this wealthy culture and continue to enjoy all the blessings of it. And we get to be in the kingdom of God and enjoy the blessings of that. And it's not that it's all wrong, like, but this is reality. What is the most important thing? What do we value most? Some of us would never consider selling our house in order to follow the lead of the Lord. No, that's not part. Some of us would never consider walking away from our families in order to follow the Lord. Some of us would never consider giving a whole month of our wages to the poor. That's just too much. That's too far. That's too much. No, I don't need to do that. Like, God, you know I love you, right? This is where we go, right? Well, you don't need, no, you're right. We don't need to do that. You know, we look at the rich young ruler. God says, sell everything you have and follow me. And he's like, I can't do it. He's not saying that to everybody. We don't all have to sell it. You know, prerequisite in order to get into the kingdom of heaven. We always are downplaying the cost of the kingdom of God and unwilling to give up anything because we don't have to give it up. I mean, that's not really what God... No, wait a second. What are we giving up? Are we willing to give it up? But will we give it up when it really comes to it? This passage in Luke 14 is devastating, I think, to some of us. If anyone comes to me, Jesus says, and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children... and brothers and sisters, and yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. See, we like to jump on the word hate. Well, it doesn't really mean hate. It just means you have to love less than Jesus. And I love my family less. I mean, I would leave them if I had to. It's not I would totally. But when it comes down to it, will we? And the reality is, Jesus has called us sometimes to take these extreme sacrifices. And we've said, I can't do that. But then if you think about, and this is the reality, like, this came to me this way. Like, think about the Muslim woman who finds Jesus. She's got kids. She's got a husband. She's got mom and dad. Now they've all totally kicked her out. She's got no one. She has lost. She sacrificed her husband. She sacrificed her kids. She's given it all up in order to follow Jesus. Now that changes this passage. It's not about the hate. It's about what is the priority in your life. It's about who rules, who reigns. And I think we have to get this understanding as we follow Jesus into this. We have to get a proper perspective that it's actually probably going to cost us in order to follow Jesus in this. Some of us are going to have to give up family and friends and possessions and homes and towns and countries and comforts and passions and perspectives and strengths and blessings of this world in order to follow Jesus in this. Are you ready? But again, it's worth it. We look at these things and we all value them so much. We're like, oh my gosh, these are amazing. These are awesome. These are so good. I can't imagine. No, there's nothing more valuable. Yes, there is something more valuable than these things. Yeah, it's Jesus. It's following him. That's the encouragement just a few chapters later in Luke 18. And he said to them, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life. It's worth it. And we have to get to that point where his kingdom and following him is more valuable than anything else we possess. We get eternal life, we get justification, we get redemption, we get forgiveness, we get adoption, we get sanctification, we get intimacy, we get encouragement, we get comforted, we get protected, we get enjoyment, we get empowerment, we get love, we get joy, we get peace, we get patience, we get kindness, we get goodness, we get faithfulness, we get gentleness, we get self-control, and so, so much more. So not only do we need to seek his kingdom first, and not only do we need to be ready to sacrifice everything for his kingdom, we have to learn to be good citizens in his kingdom. Philippians 3, verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, the the kingdom of God. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The moment we bow our knee to Jesus as Lord, we enter into a new kingdom. We become citizens of a brand new world. And as good citizens of that world, we recognize that it's our true home. And as our true home, it determines our identity. It determines our worldview, our lifestyle, and our language. To be good citizens of the kingdom of God means that we allow God and his kingdom to define our worldview, which means the worldview is that Jesus reigns. He's Lord. We allow the kingdom of God to define our lifestyle, which is a biblical morality. We follow his ways. And we allow the kingdom of God to define and teach us this language. And of course, the language is the language of love. So as good citizens, we allow ourselves to be identified with and to allow the worldview and lifestyle and language to be dictated by that kingdom, but we also need to be good representatives of that kingdom. 2 Corinthians 5:20, ambassadors, right? Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We have to give an accurate portrayal of the purpose and the will of the kingdom of God. Do we know how the kingdom of God operates? Are we aware of what that looks like? Can we give an accurate portrayal of who Christ is? Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. You, Jesus says, are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Are you a good representative? Are you shining the light of Jesus in this world? And to be good citizens, we have to be focused on building and strengthening this kingdom. And the fact is, we, again, don't do it in our own strength. We need to be willing, we need to be available, and we need to say yes when Jesus calls. But we don't do it on our own strength. He empowers us. But consider Matthew 10, 7 to 8, as Jesus sends out his disciples. And proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You receive without pay, give without pay. You've received freely, give freely. Let me ask you, have you ever dreamed about healing the sick? Have you ever dreamed about raising the dead? Have you ever dreamed about cleansing lepers or to drive out demons? Have you ever dreamed about that stuff? We need to start dreaming and recognize and asking God, Lord, help us to be a part of this. He empowers us. These are the things and the tools and the realities of his kingdom. Now, healing doesn't always come in the moment. Sometimes it doesn't come until eternity comes. But we still have this recognition that this is what we're bringing with us. This is kingdom of God normal. Some of us can't even get past the idea of healing, really healing sick. We can't even get to the point where we'd pray for that. Some of us might pray it, but it's a very weak prayer. I mean, God doesn't need strong prayers. It's amazing what he can do, even with our weak prayers. But oftentimes we pray without even really thinking that it's going to happen. We just walk away. Don't even think about it. Do you have the faith for that? Do you have to recognize that this is what we do in the kingdom of God? Church, I want to encourage you. God has prepared us for such a time as this. He's not just prepared me. He's prepared you. Some of you might be overwhelmed by this vision, this ask. But know that he's prepared you for this moment. He's given you dreams already. And he's inviting you to ask. But he's also inviting you to join him in building his kingdom. He's like, I prepared you for this moment. Now there's more preparation that needs to happen. But you're prepared. Like, you're not in this church on accident. There's a reason that you're here at this time. There's a reason that I am here at this time. There's a reason that he brought this about in July for me personally, and this is a reason why he's bringing about it right now in here in March of 2024 for you guys. So church, I want to encourage you. Like, he has prepared you for this. Don't be afraid. Don't be overwhelmed. Trust him. Choose to follow him in it. Step in. The fact of the matter is this is an amazing church. You have to understand, this is an amazing church, which means that includes you. There are a lot of amazing people in this room. People that know Jesus, that have experienced him in all kinds of different ways. Certainly, some of us, you know, struggling with that relationship in different dynamics or whatever. But understand that he has prepared you for this moment. No matter where you're at with Jesus, this is an opportunity for you to follow him to that next step that he has for you. And it's a step that we take corporately and individually. But don't think that this isn't for you. Every one of you, it's for. He wants to bless us. He's inviting us to join him in something incredible. It doesn't make sense. There's no way except for his way. So, church, I want to invite you this morning with several questions for you to consider. The first one is similar to what I asked last week, but will you join me in daring to ask our good, good Father for 50,000 souls, $50 million in less than 5 years? Will you join me in expectantly looking for God to begin to do this miracle? And will you join me in preparing yourself and our church for whatever our role is in all of this? Will you dream dreams with me? I'm so excited about the future. Big part of that is the 50,000 souls. How cool, right? But you know what's bigger than that? Joining Jesus in that. We're going to see so many amazing things. We're going to learn so much more about who he is. We're going to experience him in ways we've never encountered before. We're going to cast out demons. We're going to cleanse lepers. We're going to raise the dead. Can I say that? Yes, I can say it. It says in the scripture, we're going to heal the sick. And we're going to proclaim the kingdom of God is here. Worship team, why don't you come on up? Church, thank you for listening. Thank you for being open. Thank you for some of you wrestling with this with me. Thank you for loving Jesus. Thank you for being an example of that to me and to so many. Let's continue to seek him and pursue him together. We've got some new, bigger dreams and imaginations that are going wild right now, but he is so, so good. And this is going to be so, so fun. Worth it all. You've done so much, blessed us so much already. Lord, your death on the cross, but so much more. Resurrection from the dead, and then the choice to to be one with us, to be with us, to love us unconditionally, to walk with us through all of life. Lord, even in our sin, you refuse to leave us. It's amazing. You're just so, so good. You've saved us. You've loved us. You've blessed us. You've empowered us. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done. And Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, thank you for your dreams that you give. Lord, help us as a church to embrace the dreams that are from you. That we would not be satisfied with just earthly dreams, but Lord, that we would dream kingdom, heaven dreams. Lord, that we would dream your dreams. And that, Lord, that we would have the courage then to ask. Lord, let us experience our dreams in real life. Oh, Lord, we want to follow you wherever you lead. Help us to get that perspective in our heads. Help us to be like Paul in some sense. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 and following. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church, for being here with me this morning, and thank you for this time of worship. And again, we're going to continue with a couple more songs. If you would like to stay and worship and continue to respond to the Lord and listen to what he's saying to you in these songs, and just encourage you to stay and continue to worship. If you'd like prayer, we would love to pray for you. Whatever's going on, something that's going on in your life this week, or maybe something the Lord's brought up just in this service, come forward. We'd love to join you in prayer. If you're ready to just fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, again, we encourage you to head out to the fellowship hall, let the doors close behind you, and encourage someone. Like, speak life over them. Allow the Lord to speak to you and through you, and for his glory. All right. Thank you, church. Have a great Sunday.